Knowing that we are brilliant, why do we pretend that we are not brilliant? This is Dr. Herbert O. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Knowing that we are brilliant, why do we pretend that we are not brilliant? Now, historically, women pretend that they're not brilliant. And yet, it's women who strengthen their husbands on the various things that they're doing, who are standing behind them and being a powerful issue in their life so that their husbands can accomplish great work. And can you imagine how true this is when you look at it the other way around? Some of these women who are absolutely great, the leaders of companies or the head of different companies, they maintain their home, they maintain their family, they maintain their business, they do all these things, and they do it with so much love and so much joy that it's really a delight to watch them work. They know that they're brilliant, but they don't know they're brilliant. They just are brilliant. And they pretend that they're not brilliant. But they don't pretend they're not brilliant. Think about it. A mother doesn't say, now this is how we should act, and here's what we should do. The mother just says, this is what we do in this family. This is how we act in this family. Well, that's what you just said, and you said you didn't say that. Yes, the mother didn't give orders. The mother just said, this is what we do in this family. And if you want to be a member of this family, then that's how you act. In this family, we have values. In this family, we have attitudes that are so powerful and so wonderful because it makes our family into a beautiful, desirable family. Where do values come from? Where do attitudes come from in a family? They come from how the parents act and what the parents expect of themselves and of their children. If a parent is an absolute genius, is a very brilliant person, that parent will handle any child as an absolute brilliant child. The parent will not conceive of the child as being anything less than brilliant, anything less than a genius. And of course, as the parent conceives of the child as being a genius, the child responds as a genius. And you might profess or contest, but every child's not a genius. Oh, yes, they are. Every child is a genius. Every child does not have the same area of genius that every other child has. Some are musicians, some are ball game players, and some are chess players, and some are people who just love to maintain the house. Some are people who are creative and just magnificent in many ways. And there are many ways to be a genius. Genius doesn't just mean to be a genius the way you conceive of a genius. A genius is being a person who likes himself, who enjoys himself and entertains himself with things that please him. Now, this is true. This is how it works. And this is how we are. Knowing that we're brilliant, why do we pretend we're not? Well, we don't really pretend we're not brilliant. What we pretend is that we don't realize what area we're brilliant, what area in which we're brilliant. Now you say, well, if a person is an artist or a pianist and they play well, they know that area, they're brilliant. Well, no, they don't. They play well because they love to play. They don't think that they're brilliant as an artist or as they're brilliant as a pianist. They just play well because they love to do it. And so it is with a scientist, and so it is with a mathematician or any field, or so it is with a parent. A brilliant parent doesn't know they're a brilliant parent. They just care about themselves, their family, and their children. And so, as they care about their children, they stop and read the instructions first. And where can you find the instructions for raising children? Well, you find the instructions for raising children inside of you. How would I like to be treated? How would I like to have things go on in my world? How would I like to do different things? How would I like to have different talents? And you see, when a parent asks that, then the parent says, oh, that I would, that I wouldn't. Now, my son loves to play ball, and I'm not a great enthusiast of playing ball. So I say to my son, always follow the rules of the game in playing ball, and you'll have a lot of fun. Well, I want to do it my way. And, well, son, if you want to do it your way, playing ball will be fun for you, but you won't have anyone else to play with, because everyone else likes to play by the rules, because then they know what game they're playing. But, Mom, I want to do it my way. Son, that's the way we do things in life. We play by the rules. But, Mom, that doesn't make any sense. I want to have fun. Well, then choose a game in which following the rules is fun. Now, what game can you see in following the rules is fun? Well, I want to go and jump in the ocean and swim around. Oh, son, I think that's a noble idea and a wonderful idea. Let's go down to the YMCA and learn how to swim. But, Mom, I want to jump in the ocean and swim. Well, son, we can put a life jacket on. No, I don't want a life jacket. Well, son, if you jump in the ocean and you don't know how to swim, you might be one of those very beautiful, talented people who swim like a puppy dog and swim right from the beginning and feel very confident. But I would feel a lot more happy if you would learn how to swim and then go jump in the ocean. I'm not against you jumping in the ocean. I'm only interested that you are able to swim to shore or wherever you want to swim. But if you don't know how to swim, then, of course, jumping in the ocean could be a little bit of a finale for your life. But, Mom, you talk terrible. No, son. I'm only offering you a suggestion. If you want to play the game of jumping in the ocean, learn how to swim. And if you want to, you could go down to the ocean and watch your buddies. And you don't have to go to school to learn to swim. Just watch them. And you see how they kick their feet and how they use their arms and how they learn to float. Well, you just watch them. And then you practice that in the shallow water. And pretty soon you're doing it and you're very good at it. And then you practice more and more. And you can learn many different ways. Learning doesn't necessarily just come from school. Learning doesn't necessarily just come from having someone else work with you. Learning comes from turning your heart to what you really want to do and being brilliant in it. Now, son, can you be a brilliant pilot? Oh, yeah, I'd like that. Can you be a brilliant pilot of a boat? Oh, sure, anything. That's easy. Can you be a brilliant pilot of a car going down the highway? Oh, yeah, I'd like that. Can you be... Well, you see, she asks him all these things. And then, with each thing, she says, now, what are the rules for taking an airplane and taking off? Well, you got to start the engine. Yeah, that's true, too. Well, for taking an airplane and taking off, the first thing you do is to make sure that the airplane is untied. Because an airplane is usually tied down out on the field so that the wind won't blow it away. And you got to untie it and take the chucks out from under the wheels. Oh, but that's natural. No, that's not natural. That's what you must do. And if you're going to fly an airplane, you have to walk around the airplane because it's been out in the field. And anyone might have taken the propeller off of it or might have done any other silly thing. And you want to make sure that the plane is all there and that everything moves properly. And then you get in the plane and you pull the controls back and forth and you make sure they're all free and easy operating. And then you look out to the right and to the left and everywhere and you say, contact! And so you start the engine. And you start the engine and you check the engine to make sure that it's operating smoothly. You don't want to be up in the air and have the engine quit and say, what do I do now? You know? And so then you start the engine. And then you are on this field where there's no other planes, it's just your private field. So you look around to make sure that no visitors coming landing and getting ready. And you look at your windsock to see which way the wind is blowing. So you can fly into the wind to have the most control. Then you rev up your engine to make sure that it does well, and you hold your brakes to keep yourself in place. And you check everything out. And once you've checked everything out, then you get ready for your takeoff. You taxi out to the end of your runway if you're not there already. And then you pull back on the throttle and away you go. Little by little, lifting the tail off and then lifting the wings off, and you're off into the sky blue yonder. Well, now, that's interesting, isn't it? But you see, there's quite a procedure that you go through on that. And if you don't know the procedure and follow the procedure, you're liable to get yourself into some trouble. So, no matter how brilliant you are, no matter how wonderful you are, even your brilliance is displayed by following a program, following the rules, and doing what is right to do for that particular game. Whether it's swimming, flying an airplane, driving a boat, driving a car, whatever it may be. These are all things that we learn the rules. Now, being a good parent, you encourage your child to do those things that prepares him or her for whatever game they're playing. But you have to encourage them, not to discourage them in learning by saying it's so difficult or saying that they're not going right, and pick, but encourage. That's great. Oh, that's right. That's exactly right. You're doing everything well. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You're so wonderful. And the more proud we are of them, even though it's of very little things, the sooner they will be proud of themselves and demonstrate to themselves how wonderful they are. Yes. The absolute philosopher is not a stupid being. The absolute philosopher is one who thinks carefully, who listens to his own heart. And in listening to his own heart, how would he like to be taught, instructed, guided, shown? How would he be as a parent? How would he be as a teacher? How would he be as a human being? And how would he be as a divine being? Think on these things. They're pretty wonderful. Now, know for sure, I love you eternally.